For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. My assignment for this week is two words. Showing up. Two words, showing up, that can actually alter your destiny if you thoroughly understand what those two words mean and you can apply them. Let me tell you a little bit of story now that I reflect back on my career as a TV journalist slash weather anchor, career that I had for quite a while, well over 20 years. Counting my radio time, probably a good 25 years. You know, the reason why that I got such good breaks and I ended up getting some really good major market jobs, which is ultimately the goal of someone in that career, is to work in major markets. And let me just give you a quick setup of that. You pay your dues, ladies and gentlemen, in this business. You don't start out at the top, and you should never want to start out at the top when it comes to public viewership or public listenership, because you make mistakes. It would be like a white belt showing up for a black belt test, right? There's too many mistakes because you haven't paid your dues. And when you try to quickly climb to the top without getting that experience, you often will end up making a fool of yourself or not having longevity with that particular position. And I know people like that. And I've written about people like that and talk about it, and they know that. They'll even tell you that. But anyway, in this business, I did pay my dues. And I worked at a lot of small TV stations and small radio stations, and I got a better job in a bigger market, And then finally, I got into major market broadcasting, which once you get about 3 million listeners or viewers, you're doing pretty good in that business. You can secure an agent. You can... you know, they'll pay you, they'll buy your clothes, your makeup, they pay you pretty well, they put you under contracts and that kind of thing. So it took me several years to pay my dues, probably about 10 years counting everything before I made it into major market TV. And that's to be expected. A lot of times the generation now coming up, they don't understand that. It's almost like they don't have the patience to put that out there, to be able to climb the ladder instead of try to jump and get to the top of the ladder. There's a reason why you have to climb, because you need to know your craft, you need to know your product, and you need to be afforded the chance to make those mistakes. So, once I had the experience and I was on my way up, I did something different that other people didn't do. Because you got to remember, there were times I had to beat out 6,000 people for one position in major market TV. And I did so, and I did so successfully. But the big secret was I showed up. That's something that a lot of the other talents did not do. Let me explain. Most people will send out a tape. I guess today they'd send out, you know, whatever, electronically, and, you know, follow up with electronic communication. Well, we could still do that in my time and day when I was coming up the ladder. But I had the best advice. I call him my TV mentor, Joe Rovito, out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a very successful news director. He said, Karen, I am a news director. I'm going to tell you the differences. You got to show up. Don't send a tape. I want you to walk the tape in. And I remember telling him, I said, well, Joe, what if they're not even looking for anybody? He goes, even more reason why you need to walk your tapes in. Literally, get in the car, travel for an hour and a half, go to the local news markets and shop your tape. Ask to meet with the news director. That takes courage, because the news director he's someone in charge, and they're very busy, and you have to prepare yourself for, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. I'm not going to take the time to come shake your hand or take your tape off of you. But he goes, Karen, you'd be surprised. They're always looking for talent. You'd be surprised if they knew you showed up, what they would do. So I took him at his word, and I did. I remember driving to Johnstown, Pennsylvania, a small market, because I wanted to make the leap from radio into television. And I awkwardly went up to the receptionist, and I said, you know, I'm here. I just wondered if the news director, Ron Miller, would just have maybe 5 minutes to just come down and shake my hand so I can introduce myself and take my tape. She's like, well, I'll ask. And she did. And he did come down. And he did shake my hand. And I was prepared with what I wanted to say to him if it happened. He took my tape, and he goes, come here, have a seat. He goes, you know what? You're in luck. I just had two people quit today. When can you start? I mean, just like that. I've had it happen before where I have sent out tapes and I got the form letter. I'm sorry, you're not what we're looking for. You know, we'll file your tape, but, you know, you're not really what we're looking for. I mean, you get a million of those in my business. It's no big deal. But, you know, show up. And I did. And I walked down. This is Major Market TV in Pittsburgh. I went down and asked the receptionist. I said, would you just let the new news director, Dave Jenisek, know that Karen Eden's here and she has her tape and would like to meet him. And I remember him buzzing up there. And I remember his response was, well, I don't have a meeting with her. And I remember the receptionist just goes, it was a guy. He just goes, well, she's here anyway. What do you want me to tell her? It was dead silence, and I didn't know what was going to happen, and I just heard him say, you know what, I'll be down. So he came down. Listen, once I get you to come down and I can look you in the face, I'm going to get that job because I'm good at what I do. And that's what happened. He actually said, let me go look at your tape. Wait for me. And he came back and goes, okay, when can you start? Because he did need someone for that position. I knew they had the opening. The difference is I showed up. You see what I'm saying? He got 6,000 tapes. I showed up, and it made a difference. And that's what I want to encourage you to do to make the difference in your goals and your endeavors, is to literally show up visibly live. This generation doesn't understand that coming up because everything's electronic. They even play with their friends electronically. Oh, I know. I got a teenager. I know all about that. But you see, the fact that I took the extra time and I had the confidence and the courage to walk that tape in separated me from everybody else. Just like in martial arts, those of you who teach, those of you who are training, the difference between you having a black belt and everybody else who doesn't, who always said, oh, I always wanted to do that, the difference is you showed up. There was a moment where you took the confidence to walk in a school, knew nothing about it, sat down and talked to that instructor, and you showed up for private lessons. You showed up for class. That's the difference. And even at that, a lot of people won't continue their journey to black belt, but a lot of people do, and that's my next point. You could teach people to show up, but people still won't show up. Now, you could talk to them till you're blue in the face because you've got leaders and you've got followers. Ladies and gentlemen, I learned this the hard way. You know what? People aren't wired like me. Listen, I grew up very poor. I always say I can outpour anybody with their poor stories. I probably can because I've never met anybody, not here in the United States, that could outpour me with the stories. That's how poor I was growing up. But I didn't continue to be poor once I was grown. Once I was in a young adult, I found my way. I was no longer poor. There's something to be said about people who are no longer in the situation of being a victim or having to go under the jurisdiction of somebody else, and they're still not making their way. Now, I hope I'm not offending anybody, but I have a right to say that I earned it because I was in your shoes. So if you're listening to me and you're like that, I want you to listen to me closely. Check yourself and see if you're showing up. Are you going the extra mile? In this world, there are leaders and there are people who are not leaders. In this world, you can take people and you could try to craft and hone them to be leaders. And they will never be leaders because you can't change the spots on a leopard. If somebody was designed to be a certain way, you're not going to be able to change that. I didn't understand this because I could be changed. I had mentors in my life as a young person and I listened to them. I did what they told me to do, and it worked. I try to do that with a lot of young people today. It doesn't work. Maybe one or two, But the mass majority of people that I've talked to, I've taken under my wing, I've held seminars with, and the ones that you take closest to your bosom are the ones you got to watch. They're the ones who will actually not be able to continue the journey of leadership or whatever. Maybe it's pressure. Maybe it's just high pressure. I don't know. But not everybody is wired to do what you're capable of doing. I didn't realize how incredibly capable I was as a young person. Nobody told me that. All I saw was slamming doors, and here I am picking myself up and dusting myself off and going back for more. No one ever told me. I don't remember hearing things like that from people as a young adult. I mean, people said nice things to me, but, well, I thought they just liked me. I didn't necessarily take it to heart. You know, many times I showed up from an early adulthood on, and I did get doors slammed in my face. And I didn't get things in my favor. I even got discouraged at times. But I still showed up for the next time, and the next time, and the next time. Showing up is incredible. But what I've learned when I go back, and I have spent many, many years as a community contributor, whatever you want to call it, a philanthropist, I don't know. I'm not going to label myself. I just try to do God's work, and I try to help people. I've spent many years doing that, working with kids and adults alike, homeless people, street people, single moms on welfare, you name it. And I've been to many, many schools in the poorest parts of this country, Native American reservations, Indian schools, inner city programs. I can't tell you how many times I've spoken and I've given my story. And I've told them every single tool they need to succeed in life, just like people told me. And you know what? I would walk off stage or walk out of that room and go, I would be shocked if one person will do what I told them to do. I could feel it. I could tell. I could look at them. I could see their response. And I knew that I had to just shake my hands, you know, walk away. Because you're either wired to be a leader or you're not. You're either wired to succeed or you're not. There's something very incredible about that wiring. That's why we have leaders, and that's why we have followers. But my hope is, of the hundreds and hundreds of people that I've tried to help and take under my wing, maybe there's one or two that will succeed because they were wired to succeed, but they didn't have the correct mentorship under them to do it. And I got to tell you, I've been very sorely disappointed at people. Some people I take under my wing and I have for years and years and taught them everything I know. And there's still such a lack of how to just handle things and deal with people and how to make things work. I mean, it's like I just want to, like, you know, tell them blue in the face. I already told you this is what you need to do. This is how you do it. And as someone who's trying to help someone, I can't understand why they're not getting it and why they can't do it. It's like talking to a brick wall. And finally, I got to the point where it's like, you know, it is what it is. There's maybe 1-2% of the people out there that will actually be able to be helped with what I'm expending. The rest of them, they're never going to make it. They're never going to be leaders. They're never going to be able to be a leader in their life. Some of them can't even make a decent judgment call. Right off the bat, I look at people. I listen. I deal with poor people. I was a poor person. I know all about the ghetto, street kids, the inner city. I know all about these things. I've spent my whole life trying to help in these situations, hands-on, not asking for a dime for me, free of charge. And I can tell you, you can't change people that don't want to change. And why don't they want to change? Because they're not wired to change. They don't have the fortitude to change. People say they're a product of their environment. Forgive me if I've offended you. It may be they're a product of their DNA. I kid you not. I know that this is a battle that I have tried to help and confront my entire adult life. As soon as God started to bless me, I wanted to go back and bless other people. And I still want to do it. even in spite of a lot of the heartache that I have to deal with. And trust me, man, betrayal. I can't even tell you. I've gotten my heart broken by people that I've helped change their life. But you know what? I did what I was supposed to do. And as a spiritual person, I got to let go and let God handle everything else. I can only do so much. People often say, Karen, you know, you're a world-class martial artist. I've been called that. Not real sure what that means, but thank you. But you know, you could charge money for what you do. And I could. And I have. For 10 years, I had a commercial school. It did very, very well. But you know what? God blessed me, and I didn't want to do it to make money. I wanted to do it to make a difference. And in doing so, that journey has been very heartbreaking at times. I'm not going to lie. At times, it's been very fulfilling. I've had, of the hundreds and hundreds of students I've taught in almost 30 years, maybe two have come back to me later on in life and said, thank you. You made a difference in my life. I want to say thank you. Maybe two. Where did the rest of them go? I don't know. I taught them for free. The majority of them I taught for free. I don't know where they went. Maybe they're so used to getting a handout they don't understand that I gave them a piece of my soul when I took them in and took them under my wing. But you know what? It taught me that I got to go back and say thank you. I have a lot of people to thank in my life. I have mentors. Heaven, divine, strategically placed mentors, right at the right time. I have a mentor for every success I've ever had in my life. But you know what? I listen to them. And even today, I will say thank you over and over. If I go into their town, I will say, let me take you out to lunch. How can I ever say thank you for what you did for me? You've changed my life path in many ways. Ladies and gentlemen, take time to thank the people that changed your life. There were a couple I had to pay, martial arts. I paid my instructors. That doesn't matter. What little payment I gave them, well, sometimes it wasn't that little, but what payment I gave them, in no way compares to what I got back, 10 times over. The money you charge, listen, if you're charging for money, do it. What they gain out of it, if you're teaching them correctly, they'll get back 10 times over in their life. It's like they say education is expensive. Being ignorant is more expensive. Trust me. Showing up, ladies and gentlemen, showing up in the physical realm of your life. Let me take this a step farther. Can you show up in the spirit realm of your life? Showing up. A lot of people believe in God. Not everybody believes in Jesus Christ, but a lot of people believe in God. So when you say you believe in God, I have to press you a little forward because I'm like that. I can be very anal about spiritual things. What kind of God do you believe in? Who is your God? I just asked that 2 days ago. And I got my common answer. Well, I don't really know. Just a God up there. There's a God up there. Okay. Well, I'm not here to preach, and I don't want to preach all the time. So, you know what? I don't feel like preaching. Most of the time, I don't. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I feel like preaching. Sometimes, you know, I don't mind that people call me a Bible thumper. If I feel led to thump my Bible, I do it with pride and joy. You better get out of the freaking way. Because if I thump the Bible with 6 black belts, someone's going to get hurt. Just so you know that. But listen, I'm not always in the mood to go there. Usually I'm not. Sometimes, but usually not. But I like to hear the way people answer because it helps me understand and it helps me grow. There's just a generic universal God out there. Well, I'll tell you, my God is not the same God as the Islamic God or the Buddhist God, which is philosophy that the God is within you. You are your God. That's not my God. I don't want to be my God. For God's sake, me? I don't have enough faith to do that. I do chaplaincies every week. It's part of my community service. I'm an ordained chaplain, if you don't know, a seminary graduate. Go into my local hospital. I go in, I do my rounds. And I meet atheists all the time. You know, we're under a special regulation not to be pressing or depressing when it comes to anything like that. You know, just kind of be kind and walk out. But this time I wasn't mean, but I didn't just walk out. The guy said, "Nope, don't want prayer." I said, "Well, I'm assuming you don't believe in anything." He goes, "I don't. I'm an atheist." And normally I said, "Okay, have a good day. You know, if you need anything, let us know." But this time I didn't do that. This time I said, "I got to ask you something. What is it that would cause you to believe? I mean, not that I want you to believe, but if there was some particular incident, what would it be? A miracle? What would it take?" And he looked at me and goes, "All right, since you asked, here's my issue. People who need God, they're weak people. They're not strong. They have to have something to lean on. They have to think that there's something up there, an old man in the sky, calling the shots, because they're too weak to handle things on their own." So I gathered in my mind that, you know, he felt like religion was a weakness. So I looked at him. I said, "You know what? You just described me. I'm not going to argue with that one bit. I am nothing without God. I don't want to be without God. I don't have enough faith to not believe in God. That's exactly who I am. I stand convicted. Have a good day." And then I walked out. I'm really surprised I still have that position. I don't know why I do. I mean, that's a mild story compared to some of the visits that I have. I don't know, but I'm still there, so I just leave that in hands of God that I'm supposed to be there doing something. But on your spiritual journey, are you showing up, ladies and gentlemen? How do you show up? You know, when you're a white belt and you're learning the basic stuff, you don't understand how black belts can do jump double split kicks and all these things. You can't fathom it. But you keep showing up, you keep showing up, and here 4 or 5 years later, all of a sudden you can do it, and you're like, "Whoa, I never thought I could do this." It's the same thing in the spirit realm. If you just keep showing up and keep showing up, it gets stronger. It gets easier. You really can get heavenly cues. We call it the Holy Spirit talking to you. We call it God talking to you. What are you saying? God talks to you, Karen? Absolutely, God talks to me. And when I go in to do what I consider to be His work, I do get downloads. I do have senses and feelings about things. I know when God's moving me to do something, and I know when God's telling me to walk away from something. But that didn't happen overnight. That comes from showing up spiritually over and over and over and over. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Keep studying, keep reading, keep seeking. If you seek, you will find, the words of Christ Himself. Which leads me to believe if you don't seek it, you're not going to find it. I don't care what it is. You always find what you seek, guys. So what are you seeking? If you're not seeking spiritual things, you're not going to find spiritual things. It's a basic principle that goes both ways, in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. Show up with your health. I meet a lot of people in this hospital that I'm in that are there because they neglected their health, period. People who got life-threatening sepsis because they let their teeth go. And the whatever, the bacteria, the infection in their teeth got in their bloodstream. People not taking baths regularly got sepsis. I mean, they just tell you that. I mean, some things you can't help. I understand that. But there's a lot of things that you can help. You know, if you show up and do what you're supposed to do. I know a man that was angry with God. He was a minister. Because his health was failing him. He had to wear oxygen, and he's in and out of hospitals. And here's his words, quote, "I don't know why God's doing this to me. I pray to God all the time to heal me and make me healthy. And here I am. I'm sick. I'm in and out of hospitals. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I looked at this man, and honestly, if he was under 500 pounds, you could have fooled me. And he had candy, he had Snickers everywhere. Snickers, jars of it, the little tiny mini ones everywhere, mini candies everywhere. And he's mad at God? He's a diabetic and having heart issues and everything else. He's mad at God. Let me try to figure this out. So if I have a Chevy Chrysler, I never take care of it, never put air in the tires, never go get it tuned up, you know, and many years go by, and the car just, it runs like crap. It's not working, stalls out. Should I call Chrysler and complain about that? You know what Chrysler's going to tell me? Let's pull your book out. Let's see the last time you got your car serviced. Yeah. I'm just amazed at people when it comes to their anger with God. I'm really amazed. I mean, if I could really say what I wanted to say when I'm counseling or doing my chaplaincy, I promise nobody will ever have me back if I could really say what I wanted to say. But think about this. I mean, you're angry with God. Really break it down. Does God do these things? Who does these things? Some things can't be helped, but in this world there is evil. This is an evil world we live in. God isn't the cause of evil. God is the remedy for evil. My God is. My God and my power source, which is Jesus Christ. Well, I hope you got something out of showing up. Because if you show up, you will get results if you keep showing up. And that means I show up when I get knocked down. I show up when the door gets slammed in my face. I'm going to keep showing up. It is the key to success that separates winners from losers, leaders from followers. And again, that key cannot be forced on everybody because not everybody can carry that key and open up that door. Not everybody can do that. And I've got to dust off my hands, my feet or whatever's dusty, and walk away and say, I wish you the best, but obviously you don't have what it takes to get to the level that I'm at, which is why you will be where you are and I will continue to be where I'm at. Does that sound cruel? I don't mean for it to. I hope that you got something out of my show. I know a lot of successful people listening. Matter of fact, probably 99% of you are successful in your own right. Your school owners or, you know, you've had incredible careers. I'm not in any way, you know, knocking anybody. I mean, if you're the best at what you do and you work at AMCO, then God bless you. That's success. Success is relative to what your goals are. But my goal here is to just tell you to show up. And if you want to go further than where you are, then just be reminded too that you were wired to go further and you can do that. But you can't quit. Don't quit on your body. Don't quit on your spiritual journey. Don't quit on yourself mentally. And don't let anybody cause you to mentally quit on yourself. That's it. That's my assignment this week. God bless you. Wish you the best. See you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.